Blog Talk Radio.
Ministries on Sunday. God bless you one and all. Praise the Lord. We're so glad that you could join us. This is absolutely wonderful. This is a beautiful day that the Lord has given us. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And if you forgot to get your communion elements together, we're going to give you a few minutes after the prayer so that you can go and gather the elements. Amen? Amen. And if this is your first time joining us on Sunday, welcome in the name of the Lord. We are a Christian internet ministry. We meet on the internet every Wednesday evening and every Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Amen. In Jesus' name. So wherever you are in the world, I hope that you're awake and that you splashed your face a little bit and you're ready to go before the Lord our God in prayer. Amen. God is good to his people. He's good all the time. He's merciful all the time. He's the righteous judge all the time. He cares for us. He's our Savior, our healer, and our deliverer. Amen. So let's go before the Lord our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come, thanking you for an opportunity to worship you, to serve you, to honor you, to hear your word, and to obey you. We thank you for the privilege that you have extended to us to be a part of the family of God. We do not take it lightly nor for granted, for Jesus had to give his life and shed his blood that we might have this gateway to your kingdom, an opportunity to walk the King's highway. We give you praise. We give you glory. We honor you with humility, with trust and obedience in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for God, the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the holy word of God, the words that guide our path. They are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We thank you, Lord, for the food that you prepared for us to receive today. It's the nourishment that we need to survive. We thank you, Lord, that you love us dearly and that you hear our prayers and answer them. We thank you for developing trust and faithfulness in us. We thank you for bringing our error and our sin and our falsehoods to the surface so that we may be cleansed and repent. We thank you, Father, for your healing, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his underlings. We close the portals in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We close and seal every demonic door. And we open our hearts wide to Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to take away the stony heart from within us and give us a heart of flesh. We bind every form of godliness which denies your power. We bind all witchcraft attacks, all trafficking demons and technology attacks, all retaliation of the enemy. We bind the Lord of the Flies, all Kundalini spirits, the prince of the power of the air, all Python, Leviathan, devils, all oppression and depression, all death and destruction. We bind the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places in Jesus' name. We bind confusion and rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. And every spirit that denies the deity of Jesus Christ and his blood atonement. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Father, and all who are in authority. We put on the armor of God, and we thank you for it. We lift up to you all true Christians everywhere, and we ask, Father, that you strengthen them and teach them your word. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand will save us, Father. We give you praise, and we cut ourselves free from every tie to the demonic realm in Jesus' name. We bind the works of every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, and sorcerer. We bind their hexes, vexes, spells, charms, curses, magic, voodoo, mind control, jinxes, bewitchments, potions, all sickness, pain, and torment in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for the word of God. It's our staff of life. And we give you praise for your loving kindness toward us. We lift up President Trump to you, Lord. this morning, this afternoon. And we ask, Lord, that you move according to your will. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13 that you cause us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And as I sought you this morning, Lord, you said to pray for President Trump to act out of his gut, which you mean is to act innermost being. And we come in agreement with your plan, your purpose, your warfare, with the intercession of the Godhead in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for President Trump to act out of his guts, to do what you have placed in his deepest, innermost being, Father. You've placed your plan there, and we thank you for it being birthed and coming to the fruition and coming forth in full expression in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over him and over his family. We plead the blood of Jesus over all of us. And we surround us each with the wall of fire, with the glory in the midst, the warring, linking angels, and the praising angels in Jesus' name. We pull down every altar of the devil and every invisible wall that would hinder, thwart, block, and reduce our effectiveness as Christians and as ministers of the gospel in Jesus' name. We bind every work of darkness that is attempted to hinder us, hinder Christians everywhere, and hinder President Trump and his administration in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for releasing your grace to move forward in faith, and we give you praise. We pray for the safety and the well-being of Alex Jones and others like him. We thank you, Father, for their courage and for their boldness, for their tenacity, for their faithfulness to the task, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask that you bless them with security and protection in Jesus' name. We ask that you bless them with knowledge that they would not otherwise have. We ask that you bless them with wisdom and with understanding and a spirit of utterance, forth boldly that you have given them to speak in Jesus' name, not fearing, because we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives to the death. We thank you, Lord, that that's the call for every saint, not for certain people, but for every saint. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We lift him up in prayer to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the Lord to pin eyes on the billboard in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for opening eyes to see what you have placed in obvious, perfect view in Jesus' name, calling forth people, men, women, boys, and girls, to MiracleInternetChurch.com. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, Father. We thank you for your move on your saint. We thank you, Father, for the humility and obedience that it took. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing men, women, boys, and girls to view and then to do what your spirit is indicating to them to do in the name of Jesus. We thank you for those that will come to listen and learn and obey, that their lives might be changed, Father, and that as a result, they will receive what you have prepared for them to receive. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We bind every spirit that would tent it. We remove every tent and put it back where it came from in the name of Jesus. Every spirit come to tent. We put the tent, we hand it right back to you, and we send that tent right back where it came from in the name of Jesus Christ. No tenting is allowed. It's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your warring angels standing there, Father, dealing with those spirits in Jesus' name. We bind spiritual blindness on the eyes that would look upon it in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that your power is greater than any other artificial power on the earth. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We bind the prince of the power of the air in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost. And so, Father, we ask you to make it in plain view. Open their eyes to see, that they might see, perceive, understand, and execute the will of God in Jesus' name. We give you praise, glory, and honor for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority, dominion, and power of any work of witchcraft, working against the plan of God in Jesus' name. We come into agreement with the intercession of the Godhead in Jesus' name. And we thank you and we give you praise. We thank you for the lights of heaven shining upon it, that no one can miss it, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you praise. We give you glory and we give you honor. We pray today for the saints to become focused, Father, focused, and to remain that way in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every spirit of confusion, every double-minded spirit in Jesus' name, going here and there and everywhere. We bind those spirits. In the name of Jesus Christ, every spirit of distraction, every spirit that would lure them away from the plan and focus that you have for them, Father, for your very purpose for them in the earth. We thank you that no one was sent here arbitrarily. Everyone was sent into this earth with a plan for their lives. We thank you, Father, for your plan, not necessarily their plan, but your plan coming into full fruition in Jesus' name. We humble ourselves and we agree with God. Therefore, great peace shall come unto us and great good. We agree with God and we are at peace. Thereby, great good is coming to us in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord, for the good. We thank you for the good. We thank you for patience to wait for your timing, not as we insist in Jesus' name. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, Father, because you are always right. You are never wrong. It's not possible. And we thank you that if you said wait, that that's the right thing to do. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor, Father. We're asking, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you bring the saints out of their carnality and into your way. We give you praise, Lord. You tell us not to love the world or the things of the world, because the love of the Father can't dwell in us if we stay so connected to this world. We are not to partake of the spirit of the age in the name of Jesus Christ. We are to remain in your spirit, Lord, in your word, under your lordship, obeying you and giving you reverence in the name of Jesus. We refuse and we resist being swept away into the current tide that the world brings in Jesus' name. For the end of those things is destruction and death. But you have given to us eternal life, and we abide in your decision and in your judgment on our behalf. We thank you for it. Jesus gave his life and shed his blood for us to become partakers of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that your divine seed remains in your people, Lord. And we call forth the buds of those seeds, Father, in Jesus' name. That the divine nature that you have placed in us, we stir it up by our most holy faith, Father, in Jesus' name. We stir up the gifts in the name of Jesus Christ. We stir up the holiness, the righteousness, the truth, the love that you have placed within us, Father. We stir it up in Jesus' name. We will not be dormant, but we will be active in the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, we are the resistance. We resist the devil, and he must flee. We submit ourselves to you. We resist the devil, and he must flee in the name of Jesus. Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus to cause the saints to manage their emotions according to the word of God. We break off of everyone participating in this prayer meeting every emotional curse coming down their family lines in Jesus' name. We break that. That curse that has kept their emotions bound in carnality in the name of Jesus Christ. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free in our emotions to serve you with them, Lord. not to serve the flesh, but to serve you. We will not allow the enemy to manipulate our emotions, but instead we will cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that these things are now under our feet in Jesus' name. We will not allow the enemy to put fear upon us and for us to open up and receive it in Jesus' name. Fear is not an emotion that you gave us. You gave us power, love, and a sound, well-disciplined mind. And those things are our gifts from you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we will not walk in carnal, cringing fear. And we will not wallow in the mire of carnality any longer. We will not jump to our emotions, but we will walk in the truth of your word in Jesus' name. We will not allow our emotions to rule us. For the faithful, Lord, walk by faith. We live by faith. We're called to walk in your spirit, and your spirit is love. So we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor for what you have called us to, the high calling that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Grudges is not a part of the kingdom of God. It's part of Satan's kingdom, and we will have no part of it in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness is not a part of your kingdom. It's a part of the devil's kingdom, and we'll have no part of it in Jesus' name. Various hatreds are not a part of your kingdom. They're a part of the kingdom of the devil, and we'll have no part in it in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that all of those things we should have put aside will now be put aside in Jesus' name. Because we desire your truth. We desire to walk in the love of God. We desire to be like Jesus. We are imitators of our Heavenly Father as his dear children, and we choose to walk in your love. We know that the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in many things we offend all. But Lord, we need to learn to forgive, and we need to learn to forgive quickly. The Bible says not to allow the sun to go down on our wrath. And if we do, we have sinned. And we need to repent and ask for your forgiveness, your deliverance, and your cleansing in Jesus' name. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor for it in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for you to pull the globalists back in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that many times they have gone forward and thought that their little agenda was ready to roll. But, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to pull them back yet again. Take their advance, Lord, and make it retrograde in Jesus' name. Put it in reverse, Lord. We praise you for it. We give you glory and we give you honor. For the harvest is ripe and falling to the ground, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you send laborers into your harvest field, that the harvest may be reaped. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for the revival, Father, in Jesus' name. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Each of us will say to you, Lord, that you are our refuge and our fortress, our God. In you we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings we trust. Your truth is our shield and our buckler. Therefore we will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come anywhere near us. It will not come nigh us. Only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked. because we have made you, Lord, our refuge. And you are the Most High. You are our habitation. There shall no evil befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. Because you've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They'll bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against something that would hurt us and damage us, in Jesus' name. We will tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. We will trample under feet, Lord. No weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we shall condemn, because you've given us power and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. Because, Father, you have set your love upon us, you will deliver us. You will set us on high because we have known your name. When we call upon you, you will answer us, and you will be with us in trouble. You will deliver us and honor us, and with long life you will satisfy us and show us your salvation. We give you praise. We give you honor. And we thank you, Lord, for the word and for the offering in Jesus' name.
Good morning, we praise you, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Pastor Sabrina. What a beautiful day. I can just see the glory of the Lord shining. It's awesome. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord Jesus. We just praise you. Satan, I command you to listen to me. I bind the strong man in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over this show and any hindrance. And I bind the spirit of Bozy and anything working in the background, every witch or wizard working in the background. I bind up your powers in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, we bind every principality. We bind you, Satan, the strong man, before I even start. We bind all your principalities, all your powers, all your wicked rulers, all your spiritual wickedness in high places in Jesus' name. We bind the 72 principalities involved with the masonry. We bind up all witchcraft. We start with the Illuminati and everyone underneath you. We bind you too. And we bind all your powers and everything that is coming against all the people of God. We bind all that up. We disconnect everyone here from all witchcraft powers that have been worked against them. We cut all the ley lines, the silver cords, the garlands, the chains, the fetters, and we command every witchcraft attack to return to the sender in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, we send confusion. We send division. We send civil war into the enemy's camp. We forbid them to be in agreement, and we command everything that they have done to come uncovered, that nothing can be hidden in the name of Jesus. And we pray for our president. We bind up the spirit of assassination. And every morning, saints, when you put on your armor, put your armor upon President Trump, his cabinet, and everyone else that is standing for us. And in the name of Jesus, we just plead the blood of Jesus over them. Father God, I ask you to surround all of us with warring angels in Jesus' name. Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to put your warring angels around all of our homes. Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, I ask you to put your fire around all of us. And Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, I ask you to put your fire around all of our homes. And in the name of Jesus, I bind up all spirits of counterattack, all spirits of retaliation, and all reinforcements coming against us, coming against the people of God. I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone's home, and I command every devil in their homes to be bound. And in the name of Jesus, I bind up all spirits of distraction, every spirit speaking into their minds, and I forbid any devils to distract them, and I forbid any devils to come and aggravate them as the word goes forth today, and we bind up all double-mindedness, and in the name of Jesus, Lord, we release the spirit of truth over us, and we bind the spirit of error. And, Lord, I'm in agreement with all the prayers for the salvation of all of our family members. And in the name of Jesus, Father God, I ask you to send an angel to pray for each one of them night and day in Jesus' name, and for everyone that we put in the global prayer room last week and on Friday. And in the name of Jesus, yes, Father God, I ask you to send another angel to read the word of God over each one of them night and day. And in the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, I ask you to give them dreams, to give them visions. We ask you to convict them of their sins, and we ask you to give them dreams and let them see where they're heading. Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, yes, yes, yes. Lord Jesus, we ask you to show them that you're the only true love, you're the only true joy in this world. And in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, we ask you to make a supernatural appearance to them or put workers in their path, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Lord Jesus. We just praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just love you with all of our hearts. Oh, we just love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. And every witch or wizard that comes up here, we just take away your power, give it back to the Lord Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we command you to stay and listen to the word of God. We bind all trolls away from our show, from our sermon today, in Jesus' name. And we just, Holy Ghost, we ask you to come in a mighty way and just fill everyone's home and fill their hearts and let them rivers of living water just gush out of their bellies. I love that old hymn, River of Life, Lord. You've had me playing it for a while, and I just love that hymn. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just give you praise, glory, and honor. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for everyone that has given into this offering. Lord, we just ask you to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon everyone that gives into this ministry, and we give you praise, honor, and glory. And it tells us in Malachi that you will rebuke the devourer on our behalf. Well, I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name, and all the stealing devils, you are bound. And in the name of Jesus, every inheritance has been stolen, we bind that up to, and we command a sevenfold return for everyone. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We just praise you. We praise you, Lord. And we ask you to bless Pastor Sabrina today as she brings forth the word. And thank you, Lord, that it's coming forth in wisdom and knowledge and with your fire. And we praise you, Lord Jesus. We just praise you. And now back to you, Pastor Sabrina.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bill. God bless you. If you just joined us, good afternoon in the name of the Lord. We're going to give you a couple of minutes or two to get your communion elements together. We thank you for giving in the offering, Father. We release a blessing upon those who gave in the offering and those who desired to give but did not have, in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can go ahead and get your elements together, and in about a minute, we'll enter into Holy Communion.
How you loved me so much.
Lord, everybody. It's time for Holy Communion. Amen. This is a time when we come before the Lord. Somebody's saying out there, but I don't have any. Use whatever you have, dear. Use whatever the Lord has provided. Whatever you have, that will be fine. The Lord will sanctify it. It will be all right, okay? All right. Thank you, Lord. This is a time where we bring our hearts and our lives before the Lord for him to shine his light upon us and upon our attitudes. Yes, those attitudes. And upon the words we've said, the deeds we've done, things that we've not done that we should have done, that disgruntled spirit that we have, that fault finding, that judgment, that blaming. We bring these things before the Lord at this time, and we repent. We ask for the Lord to forgive us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for godly sorrow for all who are participating today. We thank you, Lord, for examining our hearts, for judging our hearts, Father, because on that day we don't want to hear, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." So, Father, we come before you now. The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we won't be judged. So we ask you, Lord, to examine our hearts and our lives that we might repent in truth and turn from our wicked ways, that you might heal us, deliver us, and cleanse us in Jesus' name. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, Lord, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Partake of the bread. To the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." In my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup.
Thank you.
And as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let everyone say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're so happy that you were able to join us this morning around the Lord's table. You know, it's a privilege and an honor for the Lord to allow us to fellowship with him in Holy Communion. It's very special. It's not like an ordinary meal at all. Not at all. It's very sacred. And it connects us to our Lord and Savior. Yes, it's part of our connection, part of our relationship with our Lord and our Savior. And we want to thank the Lord yet again for all that he went through for us, for all that he did for us, and for all that he continues to do for us. Amen. He is worthy to be praised. He deserves the praise. He deserves the honor. He deserves all of the glory. Amen. We want to thank you, Lord. And so today, saints, we're going to meet around the word. And we're going to discuss a very interesting subject. In fact, I don't ever remember, and I must say I don't remember hearing a sermon about this particular subject alone. There were some things that were said as a part of a different subject, but not just the subject on this matter alone. And so I'm grateful to the Lord that he brought it to my attention today that we need to talk about this. Because he's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Amen? And he's so gracious to bring this to our attention. So that means he's desiring change in our lives. Amen? Speaking truth from your heart. Speaking truth from your heart. Excessive, false, and insincere praise. In sin praise. Can God honor it? Should anyone believe it? Sometimes, you know, we are so gullible, but there's no truth in it. Is there a selfish motive lying beneath this praise in order to snare or to secure some benefit? Call it flattery. God says that it is vain. At any rate, it is not the real thing. You know, smiling faces tell lies, and there's plenty of proof. Amen? In Proverbs 26, verse 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. A flattering mouth worketh ruin. The Lord is saying, saints, a flattering mouth is working ruin in the earth. Flattery, smooth talking, sweet talking, insincere words of sin, insincere praise, excessive praise, lying so that you can get over. No matter your excuse, God is not impressed. But let your communication be yes and mean yes. No and mean no. For whatsoever is more than these comes from sin. In the multitude of words, there is no lack of sin. Plenty of it, in fact. But we should reverence the Lord. For even our siblings and relatives will be bold and treacherous. Don't be so trusting. You know them already. No matter how pleasantly they speak, don't believe them. Because you know when they come with that line that there is something that they want. You know that already. So don't pretend to be blind when God has opened your eyes for you to see. Don't pretend to be deaf when he's opened your ears for you to hear. Amen? God did not call his people to be fools, nor to be fooled by others. For God is not mocked, and no one can fool him. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. Do you really believe that God does not hear every word that is spoken? Not only does he hear, but he knows what is in the heart as well. He that made the ear hears, and he that made the eye sees. All things are naked and opened unto him. His word exposes us for what we really are. He knows all about everyone, everywhere, and nothing can be hidden from him. We must remember that we must give an account and explain all that we have done and said. We will give a reckoning on the day of judgment every worthless, pointless, baseless, useless, idle word or conversation that we have participated in. Our words will either justify us or they will condemn us. Which will it be for you? Flattery is a liar and a sneak. A sneaky little thing he is. It gives the impression of building up or edifying the other person, but it actually causes much harm. You see? In the end, it causes destruction and devastation. Did you think that you could get away with it? In Proverbs 26:28, the Lord says that a flattering mouth worketh ruin. It worketh death, destruction, and devastation. Think about it. You went up to Sister So-and-so, and you had all these flowery words to say. But you know, really, you were just trying to get her to tell you something that you want to know. Now, is that sincerity? Is that the Lord? Is that walking in the grace of God? In Proverbs 29 and verse 5, Proverbs 29, verse 5, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In other words, flattery is the devil's trap. Stay away from it. Amen? Stay away from it. The Lord will not bless those who use flattery, for flattery is not a compliment. The person hearing it might not know any better, but God surely does. He knows it's not a compliment. He knows what your true motive is, and he is not fooled at all. Amen? He's not fooled. Flattery is a flower of deceit. Deceit for personal advantage. For personal advantage. Psalm 12, verse 3. Psalm 12, verse 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. He didn't say some flattering lips or most flattering lips. He said all flattering lips. Tongue that speaketh proud things. Amen. In the book of Job, chapter 32, beginning with verse 21. Job, chapter 32, beginning with verse 21. Let me not, pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. You know, that's a lot of food for thought. Because he says, I know not to do this. I know not to flatter. The Spirit of the Lord lives in me. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. I know not to flatter. I know not to sign up with the devil's brigade. Amen? The Scriptures give clear. There we go. The Scriptures give clear warning of the danger that comes to us when we accept the flatteries of others. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. In other words, he can't hold water. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Don't have anything to do with them. You know that they don't come for the right purposes. You see, saints, each of you were born on a day, but it was not yesterday. You've lived long enough not to fall for everything that you hear. Stop telling your private affairs to a gossip unless you want all of your business to be broadcast to the whole world, even on Facebook, Twitter, and Insta Live. That's right, Insta Live, you know. Let me tell you this little story. It's a short story. I know of a person who shall remain nameless, to warn continually. You know so-and-so? You shouldn't put pictures of your children up on the internet for the whole world to see. And so-and-so said, oh, Pastor, that's how we keep in contact with so-and-so and so-and-so and the rest of the relatives. And Pastor Pat said, but your child fits the demographics and has the appearance that people are looking for on the internet when they want to kidnap someone and drag them into sexual slavery. You ought not to do that. Well, the spouse of that person warned them as well. But I am sorry to report to you that that person shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their neck, and went right on with what they were doing. You see, saints, God gave people privacy. And we should not be the engineers for Satan to do his business. We should not be posting people's information or their photographs on the worldwide gossip page for the whole world to see without that person's permission. I know the world thinks they have a right to do anything they want to do, but that is not so in the kingdom of God. We are not here to publish for the devil what God says we should not publish. Some people tell every little thing about their personal, private life and affairs. And so they have never known and will never know personally, have access to information that they should not have access to. You know, in Proverbs 3, it says that we are supposed to bring all of our plans, all of our thoughts, whatever it is we want to do, before the Lord first. That's what it tells us to do. Acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and He will direct our path. However, if you're busy telling everything about your family and their private vacation to the whole world, don't be surprised when you come home, the things that you left there are not there anymore. Sometimes we need to choose to walk in wisdom. We need to choose to use discretion. We need to choose to close our mouth. We need to choose not to put all of our business out in the world's marketplace, because our business is between us and the Lord and those close to us. It's not open for the devil's barrage. We should take care that if we want to take a picture of a family event, that those pictures don't wind up somewhere they ought not to be, in the possession of persons who ought not to have it. You know, we get up here and you keep telling us about your warfare and what they're, this one's doing that and that one's doing this, but what have you given them to work with? Have you given them a picture? Have you put your information out there for them to retrieve? Have you opened the door by doing something that should not have been done, by revealing information that should have not been revealed? You have to consider this, of being circumspect and not foolish. If you put everything out there, they're going to take your everything and use it against you. So shall we walk in wisdom? Amen? That's what God calls for us to do. At some point, we should consider our way. In Psalm 12, verse 2, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. So it seems here that everyone is talking with his neighbor and saying what ought not to be said. And they're speaking with insincere lips for a purpose, and they have a double heart. Well, guess what comes with a double heart? A double mind. Amen? In Psalm 5, verse 9. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. That's a grave. They flatter with their tongue. Now, saints, let us not pretend that we don't know that as soon as we turn on the television, that this scripture isn't going to come to pass. Let us not pretend. Let us not pretend that the opposition is not going to fulfill this very scripture. Shall we be truthful with ourselves? Amen. Luke chapter 6 and verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. They're setting you up and you're sucking it in. For so did their fathers to the false prophet. What does that mean, their fathers to the false prophets? Their fathers spoke well of the prophet. And their fathers, let's put it this way, how do we call that? Kissing up? Tell you about that kiss and that kissing up. When you do so, not only are you kissing that, but you're kissing those spirits too, because they all come together. Amen? It's so. Didn't Judas betray Jesus with a kiss? A hypocrite is a hypocrite. I'll say that again. A hypocrite is a hypocrite. In Psalm 15, verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And here is the answer in verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and work truth in his heart and speaketh the truth in his heart. Amen? Truth, by the way, not opinion, truth. Yes, this is what the Lord is saying. I, as your pastor, if I choose to preach to please you instead of pleasing God, I would not be able to serve the Lord. My calling is from him. It's not of mine own doing, nor does it come from any human. And I intend to honor the Lord. I am going to tell you whatever the Lord gives me to say. I will make no apology for it, and I will not withdraw it. It is the Lord's word, and I will open my mouth, and I will speak forth his word to those who will hear and to those who will not hear. Amen. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. 1 Thessalonians beginning at verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. When we might have been burdensome, as the ministers of Christ. Now, saints, that's just the plain truth. That's the way it is. Amen? That's the way it is. Flattery has a motive of self-interest hidden underneath its wing. Flattery has a motive of self-interest hidden underneath its wing. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 4, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 4, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Those were fair weather friends, because just as soon as that one becomes poor, they'll depart. In Proverbs 19:6, a couple of verses down, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Smiling faces tell lies, and there's plenty of proof. In Proverbs 14, verse 20, Proverbs 14, verse 20, the Lord repeats it again for us to emphasize his point. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor. He's despised even in his own neighborhood. But the rich have many friends. But are they true friends? Amen? People come close to you for a reason sometimes. And it's not always a reason that God approves of. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31, they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Yes, Lord, I got that. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. You know, the Lord has given me this word before. And I know he's given it to other ministers, that they sit before you. They're my people. They listen to you, but they're not going to do a thing you tell them to do. But you know, saints, when I have to give an account to the Lord for the ministry that has gone forth, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not going to stand before the Lord and say that you were faithful if you weren't. Amen? It is so. We have had people to come through the ministry over the years who, oh, this ministry was everything. Oh, what wonderful words. Oh, it's so deep. And oh, it's and oh, and oh, and oh. And before it's all said and done, they're out there in the street talking about everybody that's here, trying to spread everybody's business, and being the little backstabbers that they have always been. Saint, don't be a Judas. It's not worth it, because God will not forget it. Amen? Amen? It's the truth. Jude 16, Jude, that little book just before the book of Revelation, Jude 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, what they want out of it. That's what they're here for. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration, because of advantage. They've got a plan and a scheme right behind those great swelling words. Yes, and God will show it to be what it is. Amen? We're going to look at some examples of flattery, because I don't want you to be lost in this matter. I want you to truly understand all that the Lord is saying. We're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 15 for a few minutes, and we're going to look at Absalom, David's son, and we're going to find out what happened there. I'll give you a moment. That's 2 Samuel chapter 15. Absalom, the son of David, used flattery on the people to win political favor and to undermine his father's influence. Later on, he tried to steal the kingdom from David. And beginning in verse 2, and Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. What does rise up early mean? It means it was premeditated. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. No, the king was supposed to do the hearing, not Absalom. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. There's that kiss again. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the heart of the men of Israel. Interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. This was planned, plotted, and premeditated. There was flattery upon flattery, with deceit and much deception, much delusion working here. You can see the work of the enemy and how well he used his puppet Absalom here. Don't allow the enemy to make you one of his puppets. Take your heart before the throne of God and ask God to examine your heart, to show you who you really are. When you see your weakness, give your weakness to Jesus. Ask him to save you there. Ask him to deliver you. Ask him to heal you. Ask him to change you. It's important. It's important to God. It should be important to you. Add another example. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. And I'm going to begin with verse 1. And for time's sake, I may not read every single verse, but this is what happened. False prophets spoke flattering prophecies to King Ahab, but they were exposed by Micaiah, the true prophet, who in turn prophesied Ahab's death. God's prophet risked his life and was imprisoned for speaking the truth, but God's word came to fulfillment. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. The king of Israel said to his servants, "Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria." See, they'd have 3 years with no war with Syria. And Jehoshaphat said, "Wilt thou go with me to battle?" Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 of them, and said, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." And so they called Micaiah. And so the kings put on their robes, and they made this big show, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And this one in particular, Zedekiah, said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them." And all the other prophets said the same thing. They said, "For the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." And when the messenger that went to go get Micaiah said to him, he says, "Now listen, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. They all say the same thing. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that's good." Now here the messenger is going to tell him what to say. Now, you know that doesn't work. And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." Amen. So they came before the king. And Micaiah told him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And the king said unto him, "How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "All right. Saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil?" And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another on that matter. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Let me read that part again. I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. The king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and the water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. So they went out to battle, as you know. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into battle. Put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. In other words, we didn't come to fight all these people. We only want the king of Israel. We want Ahab. He's the only one we're after today. And it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it's the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. No, he wasn't buried with the other kings. He was buried in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. And they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord which he spake. Food for thought, is it not? Food for thought. We must do what God wants us to do. We must say what God wants us to say. And we must always remember this. We must always remember this. The Bible tells us to keep God's commandment and live, and that his law to us should be as the apple our eye. You see, in this particular chapter, and you can read it later, we're going to talk briefly about Proverbs chapter 7, certain parts of it. In this chapter, the wicked, greedy, materialistic people of the world are depicted as a harlot. So when you see the word harlot, God is talking about the greedy, covetous materialists who want to rule the whole world with their power. You know, we live amongst them now. Many of them have great names that if we call the names of some top companies, they would be the CEOs. You do know that, right? So let's talk about this just a little bit. In Proverbs 7, verse 5, that they, he's talking about his word, keeping thee, keeping us from the greedy, covetous materialists who want to rule the whole world with their power. From the stranger, which flattereth with her word. So what he's saying is, from the greedy, covetous materialists who want to rule the whole world with their power, which flatter with their words. Amen? In verse 21 and verse 22, he says of these people, with their much fair speech, they caused them to yield. They get up there. Now, you know, there's one, BG was on the news, and BG just has all these things to say about vaccines, et cetera, et cetera, and et cetera. And with flattering words of lips, some are going to be forced. Amen? And that's the truth. Some don't have any more discernment than to suck up everything that's put before them. You know, the Antichrist will use flattery to deceive. The Bible says so in Daniel 11, verse 21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flattery. And so are those run with him. They come with flattery. You know, birds of a feather flock together. Amen. In Daniel 11, verse 34, now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flattery. Flattery. Many shall cleave to them flattery. God is giving us a severe warning today, because this is one of the ways that we will know them. Genuine people prefer and desire honesty spoken in love. They hate the shallowness of flattery. In Proverbs 27, beginning with verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love, are the words of a friend. But the kisses, there's that kiss again, of an enemy are deceitful. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You heard it first in church. In Proverbs 28, verse 23, Proverbs 28, verse 23, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Mm-hmm. Food for thought. You see, saints, what you gain in dishonesty will not be worth it in the end. So why risk it? Why risk it? You know, as I was growing up, they used to say that you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Someone is going to see right through you and call you out for what you are. Amen? It's so. It's so, saints. Amen. It is so. The Holy Scripture will give us wisdom and understanding to escape the flatterer and his flattery. Yes. Yes. Proverbs 2, beginning with verse 10. Proverbs 2, beginning with verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Let me pause right there. There are some people asking God for wisdom. Oh, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. But you know, they have not yet developed a love for the truth. The Bible says to buy the truth and sell it not. The Bible says that God desires truth in the inward part. So, how can you receive the wisdom of God if first you won't receive truth? When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Yes. But it's only when you're willing to receive truth. Truth is not necessarily what you've always thought. Truth is not necessarily your personal opinion of events. Truth is truth. It stands alone. It will confront your presumption. Let me say that again. Truth will confront your presumption. Amen? We need to learn, full of God, how to humble ourselves from our opinion. You know, we live in America. Everybody has an opinion. Even the dog has an opinion. We need to humble ourselves and take our opinions to Jesus and say, Lord, is this the truth, or am I walking in presumption? Lord, is this truth? Or am I walking in presumption? Have I been deluded? Have I been deceived? Have I believed a lie? Has Satan gotten one over on me? We need to walk in the light of God's truth. And God will shed his light on the circumstances of life, so that we can see truth and acknowledge it for what it is, truth. Facts are not always truth. Amen? Facts are just that. They're the facts. But they are not always truth. Amen. So, saints, God will help us if we will yield ourselves to him and receive his help. But if we choose to march along in our own self-righteous opinions, in our own presumption, in what we've always believed and been told, and all of our family thinks this way, and we couldn't possibly be wrong under any circumstances because blah, 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 blah. Saints, we have to go to God. He will not lie. It's not possible for God to lie. He will clear away the cloud so that we can see clearly if we develop a love for the truth. and refuse to receive the flatteries of men. Amen? It's so. God loves his people. You can't be united with someone unless you plan to walk in truth together. Amos 3:3 says, two cannot walk together lest they be agreed. And so you have to agree on the truth. Amen? You have to agree on the truth. God wants to deliver us from the greedy, covetous materialists who want to rule the whole world with their power and from their flattery. But we have to be willing to walk in the truth. It's important that we develop a love for the truth. Amen? Father, we want to thank you for this word today. It's a stirring word. It's a word to make us come to you, lay it all out before you. It's a word to convict. It's a word to convince. And we want to thank you for your loving kindness that draws us to you and your truth. We lay our hearts and our lives before you, and we ask for your intervention, Lord, because we desire not to displease you. We desire to honor you through obedience in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And now the benediction. Praise the Lord. Yes, saint. The benediction. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. And Pastor loves you. See you Wednesday.
Yes, the angels called him Yeshua, born of a virgin, and Mary called him Yeshua. You know, Jesus Christ is Lord, and He's given a call to you today. He wants to come and live into your heart, be your personal Savior. And the only thing that you have to do is just tell Him you're sorry for your sins. Ask Him to come and be your personal Savior. Oh, yes, He'll come in. He'll be right there. And the wonderful, wonderful thing about it is this. He'll be there from now until the end of the world. And then you'll meet Him face to face. And you'll know that this very day that you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord. Would you say a prayer with me today? Dear God, I'm a sinner. And I know that I failed. But that's why You came and died on the cross for me. And I ask You, oh God, that You will forgive me of my sins. Yeah, that's right. Just ask Him to come in now. He's waiting for you. Just ask Him to come in now. Yes, there He is. There He is. See, I told you. Don't you feel wonderful now? Don't you feel clean? Don't you feel marvelous? Just because He died on the cross for you. He's your Lord. He's your King. He's today your Messiah. Praise You, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.